שבוע טוב ומבורך רבותיי, ברוכים הבאים. We are continuing our study of ספר תהילים of דוד המלך עליו השלום. We are in tonight chapter קוף חף גימל, chapter 123. It's not a big chapter at all. It's only four פסוקים. Only 42 words. I didn't count the letters. This chapter is concerned about the situation of the Jewish people in Galut, in exile. The chapter talks about how the Jewish people are despised in the exile and degraded. And since it talks about the exiles, maybe that's why there's four pesukim, because we know there were four galuyot. So each pasuk is connected one of the galuyot. But Chida writes that in all the galuyot, when Borei Olam performed miracles for us, so the miracles were a result of one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name that they call the Shem Membet, the 42 letter name of Hashem. So they say maybe that's why there's 42 words in the chapter. Four Pesukim is connected to four Galuyot. The 42 words is connected to Shem Membet, which resulted in many miracles for Klal Yisrael during their redemptions. One of the reasons why the Jewish people suffer in exile is because when they had prosperity in Eretz Yisrael, they became arrogant. Vayishman yishurun vayivat. When the Jewish people became fattened with beracha, they rebelled. Vayivat, they kicked. Shamanta avita kasita, they became overly inflated with themselves. Vayitosh Eloah Asahu. It was the ga'ava, it was the arrogance that did us in. When it comes to ga'ava, the pasuk says, To'avat Hashem kol giva lev. Arrogance is despicable in the eyes of Hashem. So one of the ways to purge us from our arrogance is Borei Olam sends us into galut. And in the galut we're downtrodden. And they make fun of us, and they deride us. And they make a mockery of us. And the Jew becomes the joke in the street and in the bars and in all the places of gathering. The Jew becomes the letzanut of all the goyim. And as an automatic result, galut humbles us. And once already we reach a level of anava, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and redeems us again. On this subject of the Ga'ava, I saw a very, very interesting derash as an introduction to the chapter. Rav Chaim Vital writes that one of the worst midot that a person can possess is kaas, anger. The anger brings tum'ah onto the person. As a matter of fact, he says the numerical value of ka'as is 150, plus the word itself is 151, which is the exact numerical value of the word mikveh. Mikveh equals 151. To teach that if you became defiled from ka'as, you have to go to the mikveh. The only way to rid yourself from that tum'ah is you have to purge yourself from the mikveh and dip in order to get the tum'ah off. And that's the first kavanah when we go to the mikveh, we think tikkun ka'as, to take away the ka'as. So Rav Chaim Vital says, where do you begin when you work on ka'as? there's a trait that brings us to chaos, and that's ga'avah. Because when a person has a high ego, so when things don't go his way, he gets angry. Who are you to not listen to what I said? Who are you to disobey? Or when things in life don't go his way, he gets angry. Do you know who I am? Why is this happening to me? The root of chaos is not in chaos. The root of chaos is in ga'avah. I once heard a story about one of the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yaakov Ades, Harav Shalom, the father of the Rosh Hashiva of Kol Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda Ades, Badel Lahayim. He once, on Friday night, before he made the Netilat Shadayim, he went and he took two towels and he put it next to the sink in order to have it prepared, so after he washes his hands, his towel's there so he can dry. In the interim, what happened? It seems maybe one of the kids came, took the towels, moved them away, so after he made the Netilat Shadayim, he looks, the towels are not there. So what was his reaction? He started to smile. That reaction is a reaction of anava, humility. As if to say, look, who do I think I am? I put the towels there, Borei Olam doesn't want me to have the towels. He took it away, he's laughing, you know, I think I'm in control of the world. How would another person react? Who took the towels? Where were these towels? I just put... And then after you make the initial reaction, you start legislating new laws. From now on, these towels remain here and nobody touches them. Why? Gava. Somebody took my towels. You know I am. But the tzaddikin, they're laughing. Look, I think I'm running the world. I put them there, it was taken away. A lady is trying to open up the Venetian blinds and she's struggling. Sometimes they get all cockeyed. You open, it goes up one this way and it goes the other way and she can't get it to go straight. So she's getting frustrated. So what does she do after a couple of seconds? She takes the string, boom, she throws it. What is she saying? You're not listening to me. You know who I am? I'm a nurse in a big hospital. I'm telling you to open and you're not obeying me. So the ga'ava leads to chaos. If a person had humility, so a lot of situations of anger would not affect him. There is a sigula that's brought down in the Sfarim that if a person has chaos, if he says the following pasuk, it gets rid of the chaos. The pasuk actually is in the Tehillim, so you can see it is in Kuf Yud Tet, couple of chapters before. It's in Kuf Yud Tet, which is the longest chapter in Tehillim. And it's that chapter has the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it has 8 letters each. 8 alephs, 8 bets, 8 gimels. Temanya apir. So go to bet. What's the first pasuk in the bet section? Bame yezake na'al et orcho lishmor kedvarecha. Kuf yutet, pasuk tet. So the books bring down, if you say this pasuk, Bame yezake na'al et orcho lishmor kedvarecha, it's a sigula to take away anger. Okay, it's good to know this pasuk. Maybe you should write it down, have it in your business card. So when you feel the anger setting in, so I saw once brought down, what's the sigula? The sigula is really in the first word. You remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to himself and Aharon, so what did they say about themselves? Ve'nachnu ma. The word ma is a sign of humility. Ma ani, ma hayai. Ma is like insignificant. What am I? When a person always remembers ma, So then already he goes to Anava, and once you have Anava, the Kaas is in control. Ma is Gematria 45. 45 is the same Gematria as Adam. Aleph, Dalet, Mem is 45. Why is Adam called Adam? Adam is a humble name, because Adam is Rashid Tevot. Efer, Dam, Mugle. Man is made up of ashes, Efer, Dam, blood, and Mugle is pus. That's Adam. What do you have to be Gava for? What do you have to be arrogant for? So that's why Adam is Gematria Ma, 45, to say, what are you in the end of the day? That's why also the Mishnah Perkei Avot that talks about humility, what does it say? Me'od me'od devesh val ruach. Me'od me'od. Me'od is the same otiyot as Adam. Gematria 45. Which they're reminding you, remember your worth. Ma'ata, ma'chayecha. And when a person thinks of the ma, of his insignificance, why should God have to listen to me? Why should things have to always go my way? Why does this creation have to be subservient to me? Well, he's such a tzaddik. So the Mefarshim say, you know how a person will be zochet and control the anger? With the ma. Using the ma yizakin na'ar etorcho. The man will be zochet in his way, neshmor ked barecha, to be subservient to the way of God. The magic is the bama. With the mem, with the kawa of ma. If this is true, we could say a big chadush that's brought down in the Sfarim. You remember when Yehuda, this week's parasha, has the confrontation with Yosef? He was angry. He's coming to Yosef, he's coming to kill him. Yehuda let out a roar, the whole Misraim shook. The kings came together, the lion against the ox, and they're going to battle. But even though he was angry, the pasuk is very strange. We see some words in the pasuk that don't fit. For example, Vayigash elav Yehuda, no problem. Vayomer, what does he tell Yosef? Be Adoni. What does be mean? Please. You're coming to fight. When warriors are on the battlefield, the opposing enemy doesn't tell the enemy, may I shoot you? What does it mean, be? He should just come along and say, Adoni. Then he says, Yedabbel na. Again, na. What is na? Please, let me speak. What do you mean, na? Yedabbel. Avdecha davar beozne Adoni. Ve'al yichar apecha. Don't get angry. Al yichar. Why al yichar? It should say, yichar. Get angry. He's trying to instigate him. He's trying to agitate him. What do you mean? Don't get angry. The whole purpose of coming to you is to get you angry. Why al yichar? And then at the end of the pasuk, what does it say? Ki chamocha, because you know who you're like? Kifar'o. The word kifar'o, the chaf, is a mitigating word. He should say, Ki chamocha far'o. You and par'o are the same. That he's trying to ridicule him. Nah, just like Paro's a Rasha, you're a Paro. He should say, Ki chamocha Paro. You and Paro synonymous. He says, Ki chamocha ke Paro. You're not exactly, you're like Paro. So all those extra words, what are the extra words he told them? Be, Na, Al, and the Ke. Those are words that don't belong in the Pasuk. Says the Holy Books, that even though Yehuda was vividly or externally getting angry, but he knew the sigula of this pasuk, b'mei zaken na'ar. So therefore, he put in his words that will be a rashet tevot of that pasuk, in order that he shouldn't come to the true ka'as. Now look at the pasuk. Vayomer bi, bi, bamei yizakeh. Bi Adoni yedaber na, naar et. Avdecha devavos dadi ve'al, al. Bamei yizakeh naar et. Orcho lishmor. Kepar on the kaf. Kedbarecha. So you see, Yehuda made sure that he won't come to Ga'ava. He won't come to anger. So he clandestinely sticks in some words over there. They can't stand in front of Yosef and say, "Bamei yizakeh naaret orcho lishmor kedbarecha." He's not going to do that beferush. So he throws in the B and the Na and the Al and the Ke, and as he's yelling, he's thinking of these items. So that tzaddikim, even at the time of Ka'as, they're controlling themselves from the Ga'ava. Back to our chapter. So our chapter begins about the Jewish people in Galut, and the reason that we're in the Galut is because of the Ga'ava. Galut makes us humble, makes us downtrodden, and as a result, after a certain period of time, we ask Bore Olam to redeem us. Shira Ma'alot, Elecha Nasati Et Einai. David HaMelech is saying to the Jews that were downtrodden in the exile, we must lift our eyes up to you, Hashem. Elecha Nasati Et Einai. Hayoshevi Bashamayim. The one that sits in the Shamayim. Now really the Pasuk should say Hayoshev Bashamayim. What do you mean Hayoshevi? What is that Hayoshevi Bashamayim? So the Mefarshim explain the goal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory will be in the Shamayim and on the Aris. The Pasuk says, V'yad'ata yom v'ashevota il lebabecha ki Adonai wa Elohim b'shamayim min ma'al v'ala Aris mitachat en od. What does the simple rendering of the Pasuk mean? V'yad'ata yom, you should know today. You should bring it to your heart. Ki Hashem wa Elohim b'shamayim mima'al, because God is the God in the heavens, v'la'aretz mitachat, and He's the God of the earth. And then the last two words means what? En od, which means there's no other power besides Borei Olam. But I saw a beautiful derash in this pasuk. Mashiach cannot come until we bring down a recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the earth. Borei Olam already is in the Shamayim. Like I always tell you, we don't need to bring recognition to Borei Olam in the Shamayim. That's already done already. But the recognition of Hashem on the Aris is not yet. And that's dependent on us to Mikadesh Shem Shamayim, to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu known and the Torah known to the inhabitants of earth, like it says, Yakiru v'yed'u kol yoshvei tevel, ki lecha techra kol berech tishava kol lashon, that at that moment the whole world will come to the recognition. But we didn't get that point yet. Because unfortunately, we didn't get to that stage where they are recognizing Hashem on earth. Hashem is still in the Shamayim. So we say in the Pasuk, v'yad'ata yom v'shevota lebabecha, you have to know, ki Hashem hu Elohim b'shamayim mima'al ve'al ha'aretz mitachat en od, not yet. En od is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the aretz. En od, not yet. He didn't yet come to the aretz yet. And as long as he didn't come to the aretz yet, so then we didn't do our job yet. In or doesn't mean there's no other God besides Hashem. That's a simple pshat. But the Darash is, Ha'od Igiya, he reached it. In or he didn't get it yet. Allah Aris, Mashamayim Allah Aris, Betachat, In Od, Nadeh yet. Odo higiya. No, not there yet. So we're praying in the chapter, Borei Olam, we have no zechuyot to be saved. We're asking you to save us in order that your name should not become Mechulal Baguim. If we were going to ask to be saved according to our zechuyot, we don't have enough zechuyot. So we say, Shira Ma'alot, Elecha Nasati Et Reinai. We're turning to you in the Shamayim, our eyes are lifting to you. Hayoshevim Bashamayim. It's our fault that you're only sitting in the Shamayim. Hayoshevi, meaning I caused you, I did it. Ani garamti. Hayoshevi, it's mine. The fact that you're only in the Shamayim and you're not yet on the Aris, who caused you to sit in the Shamayim? Why is it in order? How come you're not on the Aris? He said, Hayoshevi. Ani garamti. I caused it that you're still in the Shamayim. And therefore, I don't have the zechut. But do it for your own zechut. Do it for your own namesake, that it should not become mechulal baguim. Hayoshevi bashamayim. Hine ke'ene abadim el yad adonehem ke'ene shifcha el yad givirta ken enenu el adonai elohenu ad sheyechonenu. So the pasuk is saying like this. Just like an eved, a slave, has his eyes towards his master in order to feed him and support him, the Jews in Galut throughout the generations never had equal opportunity. They weren't able to have the equal working rights or make the equal salaries or to even attend the trade shows or the commerce places. Today in Galut, America, we live different rules here. There's tremendous prosperity and Mezat Hashem, it should continue. But for 2,000 years, the exile, the Jews were prosecuted physically, spiritually, and financially. I'm not justifying anything what I say now. But I heard it from one wise man was talking. As we know, the current events with the government cracking down on compliance to all the laws and taxes and so on and so forth, which really everybody has to be straightforward with any government that they're living in, and they have to follow the laws. That goes without saying. But why is it that we find, Chas v'Shalom, that there's many people supposedly that are religious and they resort to practices that are less than honest? So we could say simply because they're crooks, but we don't want to say that. In the old countries in Europe for hundreds of years, the way people lived was the government would just confiscate your property and take things away from you at a whim. You had no control. It was eminent domain. The feudal lord would come, confiscate your house, take your money, take your property. So the way they were conditioned to live was you always had to hide things from the government because you never know when the government is going to come and just take it, like it happens so often. So a lot of people, when they came to these shores, that was their mode of living. Baruch Hashem, America is not like that yet. That they can come and just, so they have to recondition that you're not living in Poland or in Europe with the Cossacks or, you know, wherever the enemy was. But throughout the generation, there was monetary persecution against us. So we come along and say, we're like slaves, that the slave relies on the master to feed him. We cannot rely on the goyim to get a parnasah because they don't give us equal rights. So therefore we have to turn to you, Borei Olam, like a servant turns to his master. Like a maid servant to her mistress, Ken einenu el Hashem, so to our eyes, unto you Hashem, Elokeinu, ad shechonenu, until you have mercy on us. Which means, we can only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Galut, to support us, to supply for us, because the Goyim don't give us those rights. Chonenu Adonai chonenu, ki rab sabanu buz. Oh. What does this pasuk mean? Chonenu Adonai chonenu, have mercy on us Hashem, have mercy on us. Ki rab sabanu, because we're full. Rab sabanu, sabanu is we're satiated, we're very satiated. You know what we're satiated with? With booze. Not booze, there's booze. Booze means indignation. Booze means humiliation. Booze means shame. Throughout the exiles, we have so much embarrassment from them that they talk about us and they malign us and they make stories about us and they libel and all the lies that they make about the Jews. From that we're trying to take over the world, that we're controlling the banks, and that we have a conspiracy, and that all the different books that were printed, Mein Kampf, and all these type of Kirab Sabanu Mus, throughout the generations, the Jews have been the victim of the slander. Chonenu Hashem Chonenu Kirab Sabanu Mus. So I saw a beautiful explanation. The Gemara says, if somebody is, Rabbeinu Bachi actually brings it down. If somebody is spoken about, Lashon Hara, you malign somebody, you speak about somebody. So what happens is, you get all the zichuyot, and they take all yavirot. It's a cleansing. Somebody maligns you or speaks about you, he cleaned you. Now you have no more avonot. Now you're a tzaddik, even though you weren't a tzaddik. But just the fact that you've been spoken about in a bad way, you become clean from Ya'avonot. I once said in the Rasha on this, it says, Tov sheberofim legehinam. The best doctors go to Gehinam. Chas v'shalom, we don't want to say that about the doctors. But the explanation we said is like this. Who's the best doctor in the world? Somebody that can come and not cure you from your physical ailments. Somebody that can cure you from your spiritual ailments. Imagine I can come to you with a magic wand, tap your head, and you have no more avonot. Wow, that's the best doctor. I wish I could find a doctor like that that can take away all my avonot. Guess what? The one that speaks Lashon Hara about you, that's what he does. He's like a doctor. He speaks Lashon Hara about you, and guess what he does to you? He takes all the sins away from you. So he's the best doctor in the world. The Baal Lashon Hara, you can't get a better doctor. But guess where that doctor ends up? In Gehinnom. Because he speaks Lashon Hara all day long. So Tov Sheberofim, yeah. From a doctor's standpoint, he's great. He cleans you up like nobody. But what? In Gehinnom. That's what the Pasuk is saying here. Honenu Hashem, Honenu. Borei Olam, have mercy on us. Even though we don't deserve it, but you know what? All our sins are gone. Kirab sabanu buz. Because since the Green made lies about us and they talked about us, they get all our avonot. They get all our sins. They should take all our evil. And therefore we're left clean. We're lily white. Therefore, chonenu Hashem chonenu. You have to have mercy on us. That's the rules of the game. Another explanation they say why it's double. Chonenu Hashem chonenu. Is because in the exile we suffer two dangers. We suffer a physical danger and we suffer a spiritual danger. The physical danger we see at the times of Haman, where Haman came to destroy us. That was a physical danger. Spiritual danger we saw in the times of Yavan, where they came to Hellenize us. So every generation it's another Nisayon. These are coming to convert us, like in the times of Spain, where they wanted to baptize us. That was a spiritual danger, the Inquisition. And then you have other times, like in the times of Germany, where they were coming to kill us. So we pray to Borei Olam for both
salvations.
Honenu, Hashem, honenu. Save us from the physical oppression and save us from the spiritual oppression. We need rahmanut from both. I saw an interesting dirash. Since we're talking about the galuyot, there's been a pattern throughout history. You have world leaders that rise to power. Many times when they rose to power, they were unpopular. They suffered from the polls. They had low popularity amongst the people. So in order to boost their fame, invariably, what would they do? They would start making gezerot against the Jewish people. Somehow, when you make gezerot against Klal Yisrael, you start to gain popularity amongst the goyim. And the Jew all of a sudden became the scapegoat. It happened in the times of Hitler, Yimach Shem of Zichro. He was an unpopular leader. But how did he muster the unity of the whole German race when he came along and started to blame all the problems of the world, from the economy to all the other ills of society, on the Jews? And then everybody came behind him. Then all of a sudden he went from a very unpopular leader to a very, very, very famous leader, Yimach Shem of Zichro. Hitler wasn't the first. Haman used this technique. It says in the books, when Haman became the viceroy to Ahasuerus, and he had the king, he had the ring, he was a tyrant. Everybody has to bow to this guy. You didn't have to bow to Ahasuerus, but you had to bow to Haman. So the people resented him. Haman was unpopular even to his own people. And really, they say, Haman wasn't from the society, he was an outsider. He wasn't from Paras u'Madai. Haman was from Amalek. Interesting. Just like Hitler was Austrian. When he took power, he wasn't from Germany. He didn't have German blood in him. An outsider comes in, and all of a sudden he becomes the chancellor, and all of a sudden takes over. When Haman came into the story, he wasn't from the seed of Menuchah. Ahasuerus was Paras u'Madai. Haman didn't have Paras u'Madai blood in him. He's from Amalek. An outsider comes into the government. So the people resented him already. Who's this freeloader? Who's this greenhorn that's coming? And now he's going to... And not only that, but now you have to bow to him, and he's making all laws, and he's going to kill Vashti. He's going to kill the heir to the... They didn't like Haman. So what does Haman do to boost himself up? It's the Jews. And he starts a whole concentrated effort with the media that they had in those days, and all the different, the letters, and all of a sudden, as he goes against the Jews, you start to see Haman rise. Menaseim oto, they elevated him. It's unbelievable how many times you see it. Chas v'shalom, they talk about it today even. We have almost like an outsider that becomes a from a long shot, that becomes a world leader. From where? From Lafayette, from nowhere. And then you start to see the polls are going lower and lower and lower. And he's starting to lose popularity. Nanminan, if history is a barometer of events, then the next step is to look for a scapegoat in order to raise the polls again. And historically, that scapegoat was the Jewish people. It happened by Hitler, it happened by Haman. And this is something the Jews always had to worry. When the economy is good, and things are coasting along, and everybody's enjoying themselves, we go under the radar. But the first moment that there's a little turbulence, so right away, they have to find somebody to blame it on, and that releases all their anger, and it comes out on us. I'm not hospitable predicting anything, and I hope this theory is not a good, a proper theory in our situation, but it's something that Jews always have to be concerned. You have to learn history. And they say history repeats itself. So I heard a derash like this. The Gemara asks, Haman min haTorah minayim? You shouldn't be upset if I'm talking about Haman now. I know Purim is... But it's the next holiday. After Hanukkah, we have to talk about Purim. So already we're preparing. In the Motzei Shabbat, we're already preparing. These chapters talk about Galuyot, so it's appropriate. They say, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where's Haman from the Torah? Oh, very good. Now the question is a funny question. What do you mean, where's Haman? Haman is the whole Megillat Esther talks about Haman. But they want to know, where's the root of Haman in the Torah? Not in Megillat Esther, in the Torah Shebichtav. So they found the Pasuk right in the beginning of the creation, after Adam HaRishon eats from the tree. So God comes to Adam, and he tells him, Hamin Ha'etz, did you eat from the tree that I told you don't eat? So it says, Hamin is the same letters as Haman. So the root of Haman is by Adam HaRishon at the tree. So I saw a pshat like this. Where's the first time in history where you see that somebody was guilty and used the scapegoat? It was Adam HaRishon. Adam ate from the tree. And what happened? What does he tell Borei Olam? It's not me. Ha'isha shenatata, the lady that you gave me at Safur. Say, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where did that come from? That's the same midav Haman. He faltered, he made mistakes, he was wrong. And right away, who's he blaming on? Ha'isha shenatata al-madi, it's the Jews' fault. That's the same midav that took place. And the Torah's warning you from day one. This is the mode of operation. So therefore we pray to Borei Olam, Chonenu Hashem Chonenu, save us from both, it from the physical persecution and from the spiritual. Ki Rav Savanu Booz, we're filled with booze, we're filled with humiliation already, and therefore we should be clean already, because all our averot should be given to them. Then the next pasuk says, Rabbat Sab'ala nafshenu. Again, Rabbat Sab'ala nafshenu. Our souls have been fully satiated with what? With la'ag. La'ag is scorn. Scorn of who? La'ag ash-sha'ananim. We're filled with the scorn of the sha'ananim. Who sha'ananim? Sha'anan means to be tranquil. Those that live in tranquility, that's the Goyim. There's a major difference between the attitudes of the way we live and the Goyim live. To them, the purpose of this world is peace, tranquility, fun, enjoyment, relaxation. They seek sha'ananut. They seek relaxation. If you look by the Goyim, by the nations of the world, the goal of their year is what? The 2 weeks of vacation. Everything is for the weekend, for the day off, for the holiday, for the fun, for the sport, for the leisure, for the entertainment. To them, this world is just sha'ananut, just to seek pleasure. But Am Yisrael is the exact opposite. In this world, we know it's the world of Asiyah, Olam Asiyah. Asiyah means the world of action. We believe tranquility, the world of Sha'ananut, that's in the next world. Is in Olam Abba, therefore this is the world of action. We lower our shoulder to burden the yoke of life. In what? In studying Torah. In mitzvot, in all the obligations that we have. For us, like it says by the tzaddikim, they don't have any menucha in this world. Their menucha is for the next world. So what happens? The Jew comes into this world and he works and he's toiling in Yahadut and religion, and we become a booze and a lag of the Sha'ananim. The Sha'ananim, those that sit tranquil, they come and mock us. And they come and laugh at us. It's not enough that we have to toil in our lives, but we get laughed at as well. I'm sorry to say that sometimes this lag, this scorn comes from other Jews as well. The scorn doesn't only come from the goyim. Sometimes the goyim respect more than the irreligious Jew. And they scorn us and make fun of us, of our Sheminat Shabbat, and Sheminat Kashrut, and our observations of all, observing of all the halachot. We become their laughter. Ami says, I'm Kishe Oref. We're stubborn. And we don't give in so easily. So we become La'ag Sha'ananim. Habuz Lig'ei Yonim. That is an interesting word. Lig'ei Yonim. According to the Mefarshim, the Radak says it's two words. Ge'eh Yonim. Ge'eh is the arrogant ones, and Yonim is from the Lashon Ona'a. Ona'a is deceit. So we become the contempt, abuz, Lig'eh Yonim, to the arrogant, deceitful ones. Lig'eh Yonim. Who's Lig'eh Yonim? Tregoim. Rashi explains, Lege Yonim, the Valley of Doves. Who's the Valley of Doves? Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is the city of peace, and the dove is the symbol of peace. So therefore, they come along and say that the powerful nations are like birds of prey that are all swooping over the Valley of Peace, which is Yerushalayim, Habuz, in order to take it for themselves. Either interpretation is true according to our understanding and way today. Now, on this subject, the Bein Ish Chai says a derash, Einenu el Hashem Elokeinu, our eyes are to Hashem, Pasuk Bet, Ad Sheyechonenu, until He's going to have mercy on us. If you look at the gematria of the word Sheyechonenu, it equals 424. That is the exact gematria as Mashiach ben David. Perfect 424. So the pasuk is reading, Ken einenu el Hashem, just like a servant looks at his master for redemption and for hope, so to our eyes to Hashem, until when? Ad sheyechonenu. 424, until you bring us Mashiach ben David. But then the Bein Ish Chai says, Atid, it's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah at the end of Uksin. Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lanhir Lechon Sadiq VeTzadiq Shai Olamot. It says, La'atid Lavo, when Mashiach comes, every Tzadiq and Sadiq, Lechon Sadiq VeTzadiq, is going to get Shai Olamot. 310 worlds. I cannot explain to you exactly what does it mean, these 310 worlds. But the holy books say altogether there's 620 worlds. Gematria Keter. Keter is 620. Each mitzvah is a world. There's 620 mitzvot. There's the 613 deoraita, and the 7 mitzvot, the Rabbanan. So just like the 620 mitzvot, every time you do a mitzvah, it's a diamond, and when you have 620 diamonds, it creates a keter. It creates the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Chas V'Shalom, the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be missing one jewel, the king cannot wear it. The king only wears a perfect keter. We might wear it because it's fancy enough, but the king, it's beneath his dignity to wear a keter that's missing. It's like a ring. Sometimes you have a diamond and one of the diamonds fall out, so you have an empty hole in the ring. You can't wear it, even though there's beautiful diamonds surrounding it, but if it's missing the setting is missing, you have to fix it. You have to reset it. So you must keep 620 mitzvot in order to make the Keter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalem. Incidentally, if you count the letters in the Aseret HaDibirot, as I told you many times, there's exactly 620 letters in the Aseret HaDibirot corresponding to 620 mitzvot. Each letter is connected to mitzvah. We explained it. As a matter of fact, we explained once in a Dirash what was the last mitzvah, the last mitzvah of the whole Keter. No, that's the last mitzvah of the Torah. But what's the 620th mitzvah? It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the last mitzvah that was given. After Hanukkah, it's finished. That means the crown of the Kadosh Baruch Hu was not finished until Hanukkah. Yet 619, there was a setting that was missing. Once we celebrated Hanukkah, the 620th diamond was filled into the setting. Now the Keter was complete. There's a famous question that everybody asks. What was the miracle on Hanukkah? They found a Pak Shemen for one night, and it lasted 8 nights. They had enough for the first night, but so the miracle was only 7 days. What was the miracle on the first night? So I rendered to say in the Derash that the miracle on the first night had nothing to do with the oil. The miracle was that the Keter became complete. Once they found the Pak Shemen and the rabbis established a holiday called Hanukkah, the celebration on the first night has nothing to do with the oil. It's a celebration of Siyum. Now the crown of God is complete. We reached number 620. That's caused, that's Siyum Masechet. Hadran Adach. We're complete. And the miracle was when? When they found the Pak. What's the last letter of Aseret HaDibirot? The last letter of Aseret HaDibirot is V'chol Asher L'Re'echa. It's a Chaf. Chaf is connected Hanukkah. That's what Halakha says. You're not allowed to put the menorah above Chaf Amma, because that's already from the Chaf of L'Re'echa. Because Chaf is connected Hanukkah. You can't put it above Chaf, because the Chaf of L'Re'echa. And what's the opposite of the word chaf? What's chaf backwards? Pach. So the last letter of the Aseret HaDibirot is hinting to us the mitzvah of Hanukkah, that we're going to come a day where this chaf is going to turn to Hanukkah. We pach shemen. In any event, it says, La'atid lavo, Borei Olam is going to give every tzaddik and tzaddik shai olamot. I thought the 620, why are they only going to get 310? So if you look, it says, Sadiq v'tzadiq. They're called Sadiq v'tzadiq. This is talking about Yisachar and Zivulun. Yisachar learns. Zivulun supports. So the Mefarshim are telling us that called Sadiq v'tzadiq, in that business partnership, we're going to split it up evenly. The tzaddik is going to get 310, that's the Yisachar. And the tzaddik that supported the other tzaddik to learn is also going to get 310. And amongst them, they're going to reach the Keter, which is 620. Haida says, what about the wife of the Tamir Chacham? They're going to get from somewhere else. Some say that the Tamir Chacham is going to get from somewhere else. There's different ways of dividing it. But he says, don't worry, Yisachar Zevulun, they split the 310 amongst themselves. And the wife of the Tamir Chacham, she gets from God's treasury. The Pasuk says, Le'anhil ohavai yesh ve'otzrotehem amaleh. Le'anhil ohavai, that's plural. Those that love me, who's that? Yisachar and Zevulun, the one that learns and the one that studies. What am I going to give them? Yesh. What's yesh? Shai olamot. Ah, what about the wife? Ve'otzrotehem amaleh. I'll fill in from my treasury and a bonus beracha that they should get also. So nobody loses. The Sagaz will split, and everybody gets everything else. They get something else. That's why we have a custom on Simchat Torah. We have many songs. One of the songs we sing, there's a choir. And in the choir of the song, we say, Yesh, Yesh. They say, Simchat Torah. Yesh, Yesh. Simchat Hatanim. Yesh, Yesh. And that's a famous song. What's the sod behind that song? The Yesh is really an allusion to the Shai Onamot. When we come along and say, Simchat Torah, we have Simchat Torah, yes, yes, we say it twice, yes, yes, the Shai Olamot to the Yisachar, and the Shai Olamot to the Zibunun. That means we're saying, Baruch Hashem, we have Torah. If we didn't have Torah, we wouldn't have any connection to these worlds, these 310 worlds that are existing. So then we say, Simchat Torah today, yes, yes. Both sides, yes to the this one, and yes to the that one. We don't want to make a whole Kabbalah and a song, Shai Olamot, Shai Olamot, that's too heavy. So they said it, Beremez. So all these revelers that are just screaming on top of the lungs, yes, yes, they have no idea, they think they're in a color war match. They think they're in a football game, yes, yes. They think they're rooting for something. But little do they realize that they're actually alluding to the Shai Olamot. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ken einenu el Adonai Eloheinu. Our eyes are to Hashem. Ad until when? Shiyehonenu. Says the Ben Yishai, Shiyehonenu is Shai Honenu. That you're going to give us Shai Olamot. Our eyes are to you, Borei Olam, for the reward. What's the reward? Shiyehonenu. Shiyehonenu, Shai Honenu. That you are going to get the reward of Shai Olamot. Last but not least, the whole chapter here is a chapter that's telling us that the goal of exile is humility. And once Borei Olam sees that we're clean from the ga'ava that we had before the exile, then already it's a time for redemption. Rabbi Pinkus, Alav Shalom, brings down his Perush in the Tehillim on this chapter. On the words that say, Hine ken einenu el Hashem, our eyes are to you Hashem. So he writes, Hainu she'etzim nisi'at ha'ainayim l'shamayim. Just the fact that we lift our eyes up to Hashem, ba'anava gemura, with total humility that we're saying, we're not saying anything. We're just lifting our eyes up to Hashem as if to say, you're the only one that can help us. We only have God's mercy. That itself is considered a tefillah. There's 10 words of tefillah. One of the words of tefillah for prayer is nefillah. To fall. When a poor person comes in front of you, and he's wearing tattered clothes, and you see his face is emaciated, he doesn't have to say anything. He just has to stand in front of you. His etzem standing in front of you is the greatest request that he could ever say without opening his mouth. Because you see the humility that he has. And you see his eyes are down. So right away you say, oh, I have to help this guy. When a person comes to pray in front of Borei Olam, one of the prerequisites for tefillah before you open your mouth, you have to stand there ba'anava. That your actual standing, just your standing there should already, what Allah should say, look at the anava. When a person comes to pray to Amidah and he's standing like this, as if he's doing God a favor, what Allah says, don't answer this guy. This guy thinks he has everything already, we're not interested. That's what, right before the Amidah, what do we say? We say, Ozer Dalim, Ha'olel Amo Yisrael Be'etshav Amelav. First, Ozer Dalim, God helps those that make themselves like a dal. Dal is a poor man. When the poor man comes to collect, he doesn't come, give me. Comes Ba'anaba. So the rabbi writes like this.
Ken hu tziyur adam lifnei boro. That's the way a person comes in front of his creator. Shelefanav giluim kol matzpunerem. God knows what you're thinking. Ushinigash lifnei kadosh baruch hu venofel lefanav belev shabur. He has a broken heart. Umevina vanan nechona. He understands she'en lo me'atzmo velo kelum. You have nothing from your own, and you have no zichuyot to ask for anything. Ve'en lo me'echad liton ulkabel davar. Rak b'kadosh baruch hu. Ve'yergish atzmo ech kulo mikafregel v'adrosh en bo metom. You're filled with lo Torah, lo yirah, lo midot, lo mitzvot, ve'chol chayav rak hebel barik. When you realize that, and you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without even opening your mouth, you already answered. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you're not coming with claims, you're not coming with I deserve or an entitlement. You're coming to say, Hashem Honenu, it's all your mercy. And that's what the Pasuk says. Ken Enenu El Hashem. When the Eved comes in front of his master, he knows he doesn't have anything. It's all at the mercy of the master if he wants to acquiesce or not. He doesn't come, you owe me. Look what I did. You did nothing. Keep your mouth quiet. The Eved will get beaten up. Ken enenu el Hashem ad shechonenu. V'chein kol bakashotav shebevakesh yevakesh derech anava. When you ask for more olam, it has to be with anava. Uchmo shenepsak b'shochan aruch derech tachanunim. Like a poor man that stands at the door. It's a different tefillah. The arrogant man. Like he's perfect. You're not asking for anything. You're coming as if you have everything, so we have to give you. So let's review. Let's go back and give a comprehensive review of the chapter. The chapter was for the Jews in Galut. Four Pesukim, four Galuyot. The Pasuk is telling us, Elecha nasati ita hayoshevi b'shamayim. I caused you to be in the Shamayim Hashem. Unfortunately, you're not on the Aris yet. Enod. Adayin, you're not on the Aris. And therefore we caused you to remain in heaven. And we turn to you for our sustenance. Ad shi chonenu until you send us Mashiach ben David. Or ad shai chonenu until you give us the shai olamot. Chonenu Hashem chonenu. Spiritual and physical. And even though we have no zichuyot, but we have no averot either. Kirav savanu buz. Because they maligned us. And because they maligned us, all our averot go to them. And therefore we're innocent. We receive the lag of the Sha'ananim, the scorn of those that are tranquil, and the booze of the Ligayonim. And that's where praying to Borei Olam, Shiyomal Tzarotenu Dai. We learned the lesson of Galut already. We learned it already. Borei Olam, we learned the lesson. We're humbled already. After the Holocaust, Am Yisrael, we learned already what does it mean to be low and to be downtrodden. But we have to be careful because 60 years after that, Baruch Hashem, we've recovered, but maybe we've become a little more pompous. After all the beracha that we received in the post-Holocaust era, that's not the goal of Galut. The Jew has to remain low in his profile and low in his demeanor. I don't mean low, meaning not depressed, but ba'anava, low-key. And then Be'ezat Hashem will be the tikkun of Yishman Yishurut Vayivad. Borei Olam will see that Klal Yisrael will go back to what it said in the Tehillim. Ma, b'ma yizaken na'ar. With the ma, that's the true Adam. And we shouldn't, Chas v'Shalom, be subject to the scapegoat like Haman and Hitler did. Like Adam HaRishon, Hamin Ha'etz, he blamed somebody else on his shortcomings. Borei Olam should save us from that as well. This moment of Motzei Shabbat is a very, very auspicious moment, as I tell you every week at the end of the class. This is the moment of Seudat Revi'it. It's the moment of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. In the Zechut, it's Ayat Ratzon, absolutely. In the Zechut that we read these chapters of David HaMelech, it should come true. We tell Borei Olam from the bottom of our hearts, Honenu Hashem Honenu, Borei Olam, have mercy on us physically and spiritually. כי רב סבן ובוז, ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן.